So, let's do this. Let's greet the folk. Let's give the Lord a thanks offering. And we shout hallelujah to the Lord. And we give praise to Jesus. And, well, we're continuing our series on spiritual authority. And this sermon is a little bit different because I'm referring to some material put out by Dr. Scott Hannon. And he's got a couple of books out. But the book that I have in my hand, Stop the Pain, and he's got actually six roads or six ways to fix the chronic pain is specifically what he's dealing with. And there's a lot of our generation that's experiencing chronic pain. And pain's a big one. But anyway, he's a doctor, and he approaches it from a doctor's viewpoint. But he also brings out the Word of God. He's a believer. And he brings out the Word of God. Don't you love the Word of God? And he brings out a number of examples how that medical science is just now agreeing and finding out and agreeing that the Word of God is true. We've been there, haven't we? And so it's so exciting to me. I highly recommend this book. I'm going to be making some references to Scott Hannon today, and I'm kicking it off right now. Are you ready? I'm telling you some exciting stuff, and you know, the way he explains it a lot better than I can. He goes in a lot more depth, covers a lot more area. I'm sharing the specific target of how it works with spiritual authority and what we've been studying about the mind and how the mind, how a prosperous soul affects the body and affects your world. And so, you know, here we go on this. So you hang with me. I'm going to cover this and get on to some stuff, some word that will really affect your life. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm so excited about it. I wanted to start real early this morning, but you weren't on. But now you're on. Let's go together. Thank you all for joining us today. This book, How to Stop the Pain, by Dr. Scott Hannon, he presents and shares that your brain, your brain is in touch with every cell in your body. Now, I want to tell you, this will blow your mind. You have to meditate on this a little bit to catch it. But your brain is in touch with every cell in your body continually. Not once or twice a day. You think you're on your phone a lot. I'm telling you, your brain is continually communicating to every cell in your body. It touches every cell in your body continually. And so what I'm saying with you, and this is what medical science now says, is that the communication between your mind and your body is consistently continual. Get this. Millions of times a day. Wow. That's pretty neat. Okay? And so, what we've been teaching in spiritual authority, the battle of the mind, how that you can meditate on the Word and renew your mind in the Word of God, and how that a prosperous soul, which is assumed in Scripture that you have, we can have a prosperous soul, our mind, will, and emotion set in the Word of God and on Jesus, that it will cause you to have a prosperous body, that your body may be well, and also that your world around you will be successful. And it's God's heart to prosper you, to bless you. But it starts with the mind. It starts with your soul prospering. And so if your soul's not prospering, any and everything else can be in disorder. Amen, Brother Tim. So, yeah, we've already covered that, so we know that. But your thoughts not only affect your mind, will, and emotions, but they also relate to your body. And they send messages of status. A lot of times when I'm talking with the staff, I'll ask them, how's your status? And what that means is, give me a report of your heartbeat, what you're doing, what you're up to, how's it going? And so that happens a lot. Now, Dr. Scott presents a study that medical science is now hot on, and it's called the study of epigenetics. And the way he describes it is that your cells and your DNA have on and off switches on their receptors, on their antennas, their receptors, on and off switches. And our brain continually gives them directives or direction. And he describes that there are different stresses that come against us. And those stresses, I'm explaining to you, because I'm not a doctor or son of a doctor. Okay, so I'm explaining to you in simple terms that these stresses or stressors that he calls are like gates of entry into you. It can be trauma. And we've seen that happen in ministry a lot of times. When someone experiences trauma, then the next lap around the block, they have a disease that manifests or shows up in their life. So it can be trauma. It can be chemical. And we know That's true, right? Okay? It can be physical. It really can. We live in a fallen physical world. It can be physical. It can be temperature. I know in my own life, I experienced from dengue fever some very high temperatures. Okay? And that affected my body. All right? It was a gateway for some things to happen to my body. But thank God we have the God of restoration. That's in the sermon. Here we go. But it can be environmental, right? And it can be even relational, and it can be electromagnetic. I mean, there's all kind of different gates or stressors that he describes. But the bottom line goes like this. Our brain gives direction and directives on whether these switches are to be on and off. And what we're going to see from the Word of God is that from the Word of God is so powerful for our health, and especially for us to have a prosperous soul, that it can send continual messages through our mind to every cell in our body for the right switches to be on and the wrong switches to be off. Now that's exciting stuff. Because he points out, just because you have cancer cells in your body does not mean you have cancer. And your brain thoughts can say life or death or on and off. And he even brings out in his book, you know, when it boils down like this, your health is a choice of life and death. Goes back to a choice. I thought that was powerful because that fits in our series. That's why he's in our series. Okay. But just because something's in your DNA, whatever disease that your forefathers may have had, just because it's in your DNA does not mean you automatically have it or manifest it. He talks about that there are keys to these cells. And these keys either unlock to good expression or bad expression of the cell. Isn't that neat? So your brain gives thoughts and direction to this. In other words, if you have thoughts, continual thoughts of fear, depression, etc., those are destructive thoughts. And those destructive thoughts send messages to our cells. Ooh. Continually. And it tells our cells we're in a self-destruct mode. Wow. If your thoughts and beliefs are life, the Word of God, life, light, life, your brain tells the cells that we are in health and healing mode. And it will actually tell your immune system to be in high attack mode. And if restoration, which we have the God of restoration, saints, can I get a good amen? And so we believe in the restoration, because God's a God of restoration, that message is being sent to every cell in our body that we are in a restoration healing mode. And it's giving direction to it, a directive to it. Do you see what I'm saying? So his words are life to our flesh. Let's look at some scripture. And for example, look at this in Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my words. Let them be important. Attend means to be alert to them. Centered on them. Focused on them. Attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Don't just hear them, but receive them and apply them. Amen, Brother Tim. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life. Wow. To those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Do you see that from what we've talked about? Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. Above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. Put away from you false and dishonest speech and willful and contrary talk. Why? That's not life, that's death. And so not only are you thinking it, and sending those messages, but you speak it, and you know we release authority when we speak something. Very powerful, isn't it? Let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose. Somebody say focus. Let your gaze be straight before you. Consider well the path of your feet. This needs to be a primary plan. Every believer, the Word of God needs to be a primary plan for their health and healing. Consider well the path of your feet. Let your ways be established and ordered aright. Turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. It makes a difference what you think. It makes a difference what you speak. It makes a difference what you act out. Is that beautiful or not? Okay, there's more. Let me see. Proverbs 12:14. From the fruit of his words. We talk about the power of our words. Life and death. From the fruit of his words, a man shall be established with good. You reap what you speak. Your words are seeds that you sow, and you receive the fruit of what you speak. The Bible says we even eat it. What you sow as seeds, you will eat a plate of. You will eat the fruit of it. Wow. If your life's not tasting good right now, this could be the reason. And the work of a man's hands, and I missed that, the work of a man's hands shall come back to him. And so it's not just words, it's your actions. When you, whatever actions you do, you're sowing actions. If you do a work of loving kindness, did you know you're going to reap what? Loving kindness. Not just a little bit, because we reap more than we sow. Now we reap later than we sow, don't we? Look at verse, I think it's 18. Okay. There are those who speak rashly like the piercing of a sword. This is a person that does not have control of their emotions and will say things in the heat of a moment or when we're getting too hot. We'll say things and we'll try to dismiss it. You know, I didn't really mean that. Oh, huh? What? Look at here. But it has effect. You don't just erase it by saying, well, I'm going to spray that seed with a little weed killer. No. Okay, look at this. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. I'm telling you, when you speak life, you minister healing. Not just to yourself, but to others. Is that powerful stuff? I think there's more. What else do I have? Proverbs 15:13. I'm telling you, this is why I encourage believers to look at Proverbs. A glad heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. I want to tell you, this is very, very powerful. This is more powerful than any vitamin you might take. Is to have make your heart glad in the Lord every day. Thanksgiving, praise. Look at verse 15:15. All the days of desponding and afflicted are made evil by anxious thoughts and forebodings. Wow. But he who has a glad heart, who makes his heart glad in the Lord every day, has a continual feast regardless of COVID-19. I just love it. This is life, isn't it? Any more there? Yeah. A happy heart is good medicine. Now look, this is pretty familiar scripture. But I want you to see and understand, even by epigenetics, what we've studied, that you know what? A cheerful heart, a heart that has the joy of the Lord in it, a thanksgiving, joyful heart, is good medicine. And look at this. And a cheerful mind works healing. Well, yes, that's right. It sends messages to all your cells, life and healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones, because a broken spirit is saying to your body, we're in destructive mode. And it begins to show up. I want to tell you, I love it. Don't you love the Word of God? Aren't you glad how powerful this is? Any more? That's it. Okay, all right, I got it. And so a merry, joyful heart is medicine to your whole body. To your whole being, inside and out. His words are life to all of our flesh. Don't you love that? And so these cancer cells that are in our body, this cancer-causing gene that's in our body, there's a key to turn it on to a good expression or a bad expression. And so according to Dr. Scott, all humans, all of us have radical rebellious cells in our body. And so a real important key here to understand is that toxic thoughts allow diseases to rule versus being beaten. Wow. That's why it's important that we practice being well with our soul. That's our part. Receiving the peace, joy, and love, and walking in the joy of the Lord in our soul. And then our body will respond to those good messages, the good word. And then our life, we start seeing outside of our body that our life responds in success. That's the power and the fruit of the good word. Are you with me? So we need the word inside and out and all about. Inside with our thoughts, outside with our speaking, and with our actions, with our lives, we live it out. We speak the word and confess the word. We speak to the mountain. And Psalm 91:2 says this. It says that, you know, it's very, very important that we say what God is. We practice verse 1, practicing his presence, being under his wing, under his protection, okay, in a secret place, under his wing, close to his heart. And then we speak it. We believe, so we speak. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. My God, on him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. And all the saints said. And so it's important I can stand up here and say with the authority of the Word of God, and even medical science is backing it up, don't be negative. God said it a long time ago when the spies came out of the promised land and were given a negative report. He declared a negative report an evil report. And it was like cancer that spread through the people of God. Caused them to have bleached bones in the desert. And so I can say to you scripturally, even though it doesn't say it this way, it says it in other ways, don't get hung by your tongue. We do that. Your soul, your body, and the spiritual unseen world is listening to your words. Your own soul, your own body is listening to your words. The unseen world, the spiritual world is listening to your words. Our words are life and death, so speak the word of life. And by the way, you go back and listen to last week, mean what we say and say what we mean. How about this one? This is Proverbs, speak the truth and shut up. I'm telling you, we can speak life and then turn around with our own words and negate or erase the life we just spoke. That doesn't sound very wise, does it? Okay. Do you believe your words come to pass? Hey, I make no mistake about it in saying that the media speaks death and speaks lies. And so it's important for believers, and I've had a blast the last number of months telling pastors and telling believers that, you know what, give your allegiance to the Word and not to the world. If you end up having a poor attitude or sad and mad emotions, it's actually because you've been exposing yourself to wrong sources. That won't happen if you're exposing yourself to the Word of God. The Word of God brings peace. Word of God brings joy. That's what Jesus said. I give you my words that you might have joy to the overflow. He said, I give you my words, my sayings, that you might have peace. And so peace, joy, and love comes from Jesus. It's spiritual mind. It's life. And the world gives junk. And so if you're having an attitude problem, a sad, mad day, then it's because what have you been exposing yourself to? Jesus is saying, believe and your words will have effect. When we pray what we pray believing, it has powerful effect. Spiritual power and authority goes out when we speak. He shared with us, and you can go back the last week or so, and get this, because I don't have time to preach it, but it's very important to mention it. He spoke how to renounce lying fig trees in our life. You can't embrace a lie. When you recognize it's a lie, it needs to be rebuked, needs to be renounced. He told us to rebuke mountains. Mountains show up in your life to obstruct you and to hinder you from traveling, your journey. And Jesus taught us that we use faith and we pray and speak to the mountain. Talk to the mountain about what God says. Not to God about what the fig tree's saying or what the mountain's saying. Speak to the mountain. And we rebuke the mountain. Jesus is showing us how this works. And I know I've been accused of being counterculture during this season. I'm trying to help people and speak life and speak the word. And so if you're one of those that think I'm counterculture, well, thank you. I don't know what to say. Now, I did have, and I'll tell you what, I ask my staff to speak into my life. My wife speaks into my life. It was hard for her at first. She got comfortable with it in a little while. But see, I need that. Everybody needs people speaking into their life. And I tell our staff, I tell my wife, I'd rather hear it from y'all than anyone else. Because I know you love me enough to be patient and let the Lord work on me. I had a staff member point out to me the other day, or ask me, it was actually a question, great question, by the way. And I didn't answer immediately. I think I made a joke, but I didn't answer immediately. What about balance? What about balance in what you're preaching? How do we apply it? I mean, where's the balance at? And I sought the Lord on this. I just asked the Lord questions. I hope you do that. I just asked the Lord a question. Lord, what about this balance thing? Help me about that. Give me some wisdom on that. And I got two things. May not be the answer you're looking for, but I got two things on that. Number one is this. Don't look to me for your balance. Don't look to me as the example for your balance. Okay? Number two, the Lord has given you a balance maker. The Bible calls him the umpire. You see, it's the umpire in our life that says, yay, nay. Whoop, too far there. No, that wasn't. No, yeah, no, this is right. He's given us an umpire, and the umpire is called the Holy Spirit. And so it's very, very important that you don't focus on me and try to make me your balance. It's also very, very important that you look to the Lord and you listen. See, it requires some listening. Because I want to tell you, walking requires continual adjusting. And what you think may be completely figured out last week can be a completely different terrain this week. Okay? I told someone recently that I call a champion in the walking, that when you're walking on grass and not concrete, you better be high-stepping. I love you. But no, that's what I'm saying, is that the umpire, see, will give personal balance to where you are in your situation and where your faith is. And you know what? That's not to be critiqued by anybody. It's not to be judged by anybody else. I want to tell you, I'm very, very comfortable for you listening to the umpire and being at peace where you are in your journey. Now, don't think for a moment that the precious, and we have a precious staff, but don't think for a moment that they always agree with everything I decide. Or don't think for a moment that they're always on the same page that I am. And you know what? That's okay. I mean, we've got, just like regular people, we got pastors at different places and different parts of their journey. But, you know, it's very, very important. I practice guarding them and protecting them for where they are or where they're not. Now, it is my job to encourage the saints and encourage pastors, and I do that. And sometimes I challenge pastors, okay? You know what? My message is wherever you are, let's take a step further. Let's trust God for more. Hold hands with Jesus, and let's walk out here on the water. Okay? That's part of the encouragement of my life message. All right, and so wherever you are, that should fit. Can't offend, but it should fit. Because a lot of times people want to say, well, I've made it. No, man, come on. It's a new day, a new journey. His mercy is fresh every morning. He's rich in mercy and grace every day. Let's go. Let's travel. Let's make progress. That's heaven celebrates progress. And so it's important, and I tell them, listen, wherever they are, I bless them, and you know what, I practice being at peace, even though I may not agree where they are, I practice being at peace where they are, and I guard them on it. But at the same time, I ask them to be at peace where I'm at, even though they don't agree, and because I am in a position of authority, even if they don't respect me at the moment, they need to respect the position. And they need to respect where I'm at in my journey with my level of peace and not react against it. I think that's nice. Everybody see that? And so I'm just sharing with you that we're like real family, the family of God. But the key is that we keep our focus on the Lord and we prefer one another. And if we prefer one another, I want to tell you, love manifests. The Lord makes it good. I love you. So, thank you for your honesty, by the way. But what some churches are doing, and this is what my part is, what some churches are doing is trying to make Jesus fit into the world mindset, or the worldview, or the culture mindset. And I want to tell you, that's been wrong for centuries, and it's always wrong. Okay? I'm committed to telling the world and churches and believers that, you know what, we need to be like Jesus and have a word mindset, not a world mindset. We're to be people of the kingdom. Is our highest allegiance is to Jesus, even though we live in the world. If we were more like Jesus with our words, we would see different results. Man, that's pretty powerful. I'm going to say that to myself. That's good. But we want results, don't we? You know what I face is that we want results, but a lot of people will honestly say that they're not willing to renew their minds. Because I want to tell you, that takes some selfless, Jesus-first mindset and practice to renew your mind. It takes some time to believe the truth, speak the truth, even if it means you're accused of being out there or counterculture. Are you willing for that? A lot of people are not willing for that. Well, if I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings, I'm just not going to do it. Well, you know, that's not going to work for you. Okay? The Bible says, and I want to tell you, let's be important about our words. The Bible says a godly man will do what he says to his own hurt. I tell you, that's somebody that has some backbone to speak what they say and mean what they say. Now, in our culture, contracts don't even matter. Like I told you, a believer told me one time, that's what attorneys are for. Well, you know, there's a real question, and you can go back to last week's message. I don't have time to preach it. But is our life inconsistent? Matthew 12, 35, look at this. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things. Good things flow. He's a river of life. You see that? And the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. He's a river of death. We ought to be able to see some fruit and see a difference between a believer and a non-believer. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I got something on that. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, we will have to give an account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word that they speak. Now, I want to tell you, we believers give account for our words too. But it's not in the end, it's in the now. Because according to the Bible, we reap what we sow. Okay? You speak life, you reap life. You speak criticism, you're going to reap criticism. And more of it, by the way. For by your words you'll be justified and acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned and sentenced. Do you see that? And so every idle word, whether justified or condemned, our words are powerful, and believers reap it now. Okay? Unbelievers will have to face judgment on it. We don't have to face judgment on it, but we see the reaping and sowing now. Psalm 141, verse 3, David says, set a guard, O Lord. What he's saying is, I'm having problem with my mouth. I'm having problem with my tongue. Okay, anybody identify? That's why we love David, don't we? He said, Lord, I need your help on this. Set a guard, O Lord, before my mouth and keep watch at the door of my lips. David said, I need a guard. Can you picture a guard in front of your mouth? Well, he's given us one. New Testament, he's given us one. And his name's the Holy Spirit. Because part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Hello. Let's give the Lord a praise. So, he answered this prayer and this need in all of our lives that David expressed with the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that ministers the fruit of self-control. Amen. That ought to be some hope to somebody. So you can't just say, well, I can't help it. Yeah, no, but Jesus can. Amen. And what we yield to him, he takes some responsibility for. He helps us. He's our helper. But have we trained our soul and body that we don't mean it? The Bible says, Jesus said, speak to the mountain. And so that's what we need to practice. Speak to your problem about God. You address it. You command the mountain to move. And you don't have to say, please. Jesus took care of that. James 4, 7. I'm going to put some emphasis on here because I'm fixing to make this real personal. Don't leave. I'm going to make it real personal. James 4, 7. You be subject to God. Ready? you resist the devil. Stand firm against him. And the enemy will flee from you. Do you see that? Now, here it comes. You ready? This is a primary place in the sermon. You got to catch this. You do it. Well, that's why we have pastors for. No. I'll tell you what. A pastor's role really is a coach, is a teacher. Now, we get to be a player coach. That's a blast. But I want to tell you, the primary role of a pastor is a teacher, is a coach. And we're to coach you to do it. The coaches, even though we're player coaches, you're not supposed to sit in the stands and watch the coaches on the field. Or if you have someone coming after you and you say, well, where's my coach at? No, you do it. Boy, I'm being nearly thrown down with loud amens. But I'm telling you, folk, no matter what gate the enemy approaches you from, the answer is still the same. It's Jesus. And I want to tell you, no matter what the name of the enemy that shows up on your doorstep or in your life, the answer, Jesus, is greater than any other name. And he's our answer. Now, it may be an immediate rescue. It may be a progressive rescue. But I'm sharing with you the Word of God that, you know what, we pray for miracles. But I want to tell you, we prepare for miracles. We prepare for rescue, and the way we prepare for rescue is with the Word of God and fellowshipping with the Lord, and we take the Word of God, and we make sure that our soul is prospering. When your soul is prospering, you're in a position to receive. It may take a season to get your soul there because of all the mess that maybe we've been through, but I'm telling you, when it comes down to it, when sickness shows up in your life, listen to me, you be subject to God, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because you have spiritual authority and power in you. Jesus paid the price on the cross for your freedom and victory over this. And you speak to the sickness. Now, we get calls from people. Brother Tim, Brother Justin, Brother James. I'm sick. Oh, okay. We'll agree with you. But I want to tell you, it's important for you to do it. Okay? Because I want to tell you just about, I can't say all, but there's been a number of cases of people that we've prayed for, and the Lord has healed them. And then, you know, sometimes a matter of minutes or hours or days, the enemy comes back with a symptom. And you have the opportunity to either agree with that symptom or consider it a lying fig tree. What are you going to do? You got to do it. You have the authority and power. It's not just the pastors, it's the believers. Now, this is exciting if you grab this, because if sickness shows up in your home, you speak to it. And you tell it to get up and get out of there in the name of Jesus. To go, to leave. Poverty shows up at your house. You tell it to get up and go in the name of Jesus. Addictions show up. Hey, how about wrong emotions? You ever woke up and just had a wrong emotion just riding on you before you even get clearly awake? It don't matter if it's good coffee or good tea or what. You got that emotion that is absolutely like a bully to you and telling you where you're going to go and how you're going to be today. No, 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 no. I'm telling you, we have authority. We have power, and we need to renounce that emotion and rebuke that emotion. And that just confirmed to me right now, because there wasn't a loud enough amen, that's what my next series is on. We don't have to put up with this. I'm going to be real nice. Bad emotions. Bad emotions don't have to rule our life. Praise the living Lord. That's confirming. Thank you. It's confirming. But our part is to take authority and release it. And a lot of times, if we don't see an immediate result, and I'm going to step on some religious toes. I'm probably not speaking on yours. You wouldn't be here consistently if you were bound by religious tradition. But I'm speaking to some folk that are looking and listening today. And I'm just giving you a heads up. I'm not trying to aggravate you. I'm trying to help you. But there's some religious traditions that cause problems with receiving. And because we're supposed to take authority and release it. It's by grace through faith. And we're to enforce what Jesus did on the cross and do what Jesus said to do. Submit to God, receive from the Lord, and then resist the enemy, and he'll flee. You're to do this. Not just your pastor, you're to do it. And you have authority to do it. A lot of our immediate response is that if we don't, we pray and beg God to heal or to do this or release us from the, and if it doesn't happen immediately, if we don't see that lying fig tree die immediately, then what we want to do is to get on the Facebook or get on the phone, and we want to enlist as many people as possible to join us in praying for this matter. Whoa, wait a minute, Brother Tim, that's what I do. Well, let me help you a little bit. That's a religious mindset. That's not a relationship mindset. I'm just going to say, hang with me, don't hang up yet. I'm just going to say, a lot of times the mindset is this, we're going to get 100 others to beg God with us because for some reason he doesn't love me enough to do it for me. Or he may be mad at me because my report card wasn't very good yesterday. But if I get 100 people to join me in praying on this, this will put enough pressure on God to do something, and we can talk God into it. We can vote our way in. Get it our way. Well, I want to tell you what actually happens, is that probably if you're enlisting 100 people to pray over a matter, there's probably two or three out there that can agree and pray faith and pray with authority and get the situation, the enemy on the run. But I want to tell you, it's a wrong mindset to think. And I had a pastor tell me this one time. He told me, actually told me, he said, we're working on this morning prayer meeting because if we can get enough people to pray in every morning, God's got to do this and this. I said, whoa, 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 wait. No, no, we don't make God do anything. He said, oh, no, 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 it's scriptural. No, 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 it's really not. But you're the pastor. But I want to tell you what the Bible emphasis is that you have the same power and authority because Jesus gave it to you. And he said, now therefore, let your pastor go. No, no, that's not what he said. Wait, wait, wait. Now therefore, you go. My words, my works, my power and authority, and make disciples to make other disciples. Wow. That's pretty exciting stuff. God's already provided it. Now you do it. Okay? Don't be the police officer that every time you see somebody commit a crime, you call the chief and say, I saw somebody do something wrong. And the chief going to say, what are you calling me for? And the chief going to say, hey, look, man, you got the badge. You got the authority. We've given you weapons of warfare. We've given you the power to do it. You go do it. Don't be calling me. I've already set it in motion. Now, you go do it. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to aggravate anybody. I'm trying to help. I had a lady call me one time, and I got on the phone with her, and she said, look, she said, I'm so-and-so. She's from the state of Florida. And she said, I'm so-and-so, and I've got this and this and this happening, and I called to have you pray. And she said, before you pray, I want you to know that I called so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And I want to tell you something. I'm not naming their names, but these were big shots across the country. Big shot preachers across the country. I've called this one, and this one, and had them pray, and I'm calling you to have you. And I said, well, I don't know why you're calling me or how you got my name and number. I said, but let me tell you something. You have the same authority and power that any pastor has. Jesus has given every believer spiritual authority and power. He paid the price on the cross for it all to be received as a gift. That's what by grace means. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. And so we're to receive it freely, and we're to enforce it with the authority and the power he gave us. And I said, so you have the same position that we have. And she said, well, I don't really believe that. And I said, well, that won't work for you then. I better pray for you. Okay, and I did. All right, I did. Okay. But here's the deal. God's already provided you do it. The authority and power are in you, not in your performance. I'm going to emphasize this, say it real quick, because I got a lot more to cover, but I'm going to say it like this. You see, your spiritual victory is not based on your obedience. Now, boy, I tell you, it goes against the grain some, so I want to say it again. Your spiritual victory is not based on your obedience. Your spiritual victory is based on the obedience of Christ. And let me say to you, Christ did good. He's not looking at you for the answer. It's your lamb. And your lamb was good, without spot, without blemish. And your lamb paid the price for us to receive. Is that good news? If you believe it, say amen. Everything that grace has provided, and we don't know what all yet. We're still discovering. I'm telling you, really and truly. I believe that he's paid for a whole lot more than we're walking in. But I want to tell you, everything that grace has provided, faith can say yes to it. Do you get that? Everything he paid for by grace, our faith, which is our yes to the Lord, can receive everything he paid for. We have authority and power to receive what he paid for. And we're to enforce it against the powers of darkness. I'll give you a little example. Years ago, matter of fact, Miss Gina was probably on the scene of this. Years ago, I was a youth pastor and had a pretty large youth group. And I had like 16 youth staff members, 16. Corn, Karina, you were part of that. And it took a lot for 100, 125 teens. At an event, it took a lot, and I needed help. You know me, I need a lot of help. But on that particular night, it was an all-nighter, and we tried not to do too many of them every year, but I want to tell you, it was all hands on deck. It took weeks to prepare and all night to perform, and took a few days to recover. Am I right, Gina? It always took days to recover from an all-nighter. But on this particular event, I got sick. Now, look, that was okay, because really the staff did the events. I would have the staff do the events, and I'd get out there with the teens and just be a teenager and play with them. That's the way I had it set up. I had a lot of fun. I enjoyed the events just like they did. But on this particular night, I was a sick boy. And I had a little fella that was sick. And so I want to tell you, I had to have someone else keep the other little fella. And the wife at that time went to the event. I didn't have any choice. I said, you got to go. All hands on deck. I'm too sick to go. I'll keep this sick one, and I'll be here. And, man, I want to tell you, we had our own all-nighter. I'm not going to go in great detail, but I was sick all night. The little fellow was sick all night, no sleep, wrestling all night long. I prayed every prayer I knew how to pray. I did every spiritual exercise I know how to pray. I was still sick come daylight. But about daylight, I got a phone call, and the phone call was from a lady, and she said, Brother Tim, I was on my way to the hospital because I've had a migraine and my back is in such bad shape. I got to go to the hospital. But the Lord told me, he told me that if I were to come to your house and you pray for me, that he'd heal me. I said, okay. And she did. In just a few minutes, she showed up, pulled up in the driveway. I was looking. She got out of the car, walked to the door. I opened the door and I said, don't come in. You know what I mean? I just stuck my hand out the door. Boy, this is spiritual stuff, okay? I stuck my hand out the door, and I said, put your hand on my head. And I prayed over, okay, took authority, prayed over, thanked the Lord for his healing, but prayed and took authority over the migraine and over the aching back. And I got through praying, and I'm looking out the door because I only opened it a little bit just to get my hand out. And she's standing on the front step, and I opened the door, and she had her eyes closed, and it stayed closed, and I was waiting for her to open her eyes, and she opened them up, and she said, Brother Tim, Jesus healed me. And I said, praise God, hallelujah. And man, she got in the car, and she was driving off down the driveway. I kid you not, I closed the door, and I walked back in the living room, and I did this before God. This happened. It's recorded. I know it is somewhere because they must be still laughing in heaven. Here it is. This woman show up, and I stick my hand out the door and pray a 15-second prayer, and she's healed. And I've been all night long, and I got a little one. I even told the Lord during the night, for my little one's sake. Okay, you know, we get in desperate situations. We do desperate things, don't we? Well, ain't that true? And so anyway, I still didn't get healed. People came in from the all-nighter. They went to sleep. I went to sleep, finally. Little one went to sleep. Hours later, I'm going to say 24 hours, I slept like a big dog. That means Texas term, you slept good and long. And when I woke up, I was healed. I went and found little one. Little one was playing. He was healed. But it was like 24 hours later. So why did this woman show up and get healed? And let me just explain part two of that, because it's very important for spiritual authority, is that 20 minutes after she left, she called again. And she said, "Brother Tim, my migraine's back. My back hurting again. I need help." I said, "Come on back." She came back. Same thing. I opened up the door just enough to get my hand out. And it hit me. I said, "Wait, you pray it. It's important for you to pray it. Because the enemy will try to come back with the symptom." I said, "So you need to learn how to take authority over this thing. So you pray it." And she prayed this little sweet prayer. It was a beautiful little sweet prayer. I said, "No, no, no." See, I wasn't at a place of patience, okay? I said, "No, no, that ain't going to get it. That ain't going to get it. Repeat after me. Take authority. In the name of Jesus, migraine leave. In the name of Jesus, back pain go. Don't come back. I resist you in Jesus' name." I said, "Now let's give thanksgiving to the Lord." And she gave thanksgiving to the Lord, and I said, "Adios." And she left, and you know what? She didn't come back. She was healed. She told me later she was healed. And whenever there was a symptom come back, she did what she prayed, just like I prayed. We prayed together. She rebuked it and renounced it. Do you see the difference in that? Well, I'm telling you, if you will practice this, and this is what I'm saying. Sickness shows up in your house, take authority. Submit to God, resist the enemy. Bad day shows up at your house, take authority. But I'm telling you, this is the emphasis. You do it. Now, if you're in a situation and we get there, Lord, I'm in such a place and such a mess. I want to tell you, that's why that he's worked out other ways for us to receive. Then you get two or three to agree with you. All right? You come and have them lay hands on you. And I want to tell you, God's made a number of ways. But I want to tell you, this is a way that he's designed every believer to operate. All right? Amen? I hope you see this. And so it's very, very important. Don't wait. Here's a message in all this, and I'm ending up right now. I guess it's time. Don't wait until you got it all figured out to practice. That's so important. Don't wait till you get in a place of super spirituality before you practice spiritual truths. Okay, God's not looking for a perfect specimen. He's looking for a willing heart. Someone that will believe him and practice it. Speak it. Think it. Speak it and act it out. Don't wait until you're all fixed before you help others. And by all means, don't quit. Don't yield to double-mindedness. Don't surrender to doubt and unbelief. Continue to stay in rest. You know what we mean by stay in rest. Continue to keep your soul prospering where you stay in the place of believing. Don't quit. Don't stop. I want to tell you, I'm pretty sure that a lot of prayers are answered immediately. But like the fig tree, the manifestation doesn't show up for 24 hours or hours later, days later, years later. Are you with me? But until it does show up, don't quit. If it doesn't show up immediately, I think a lot of believers go, "Well, see, I tried. I rolled the dice. I tried. He's mad. You know, he doesn't love me enough to do it. Let me see if I can get 100 people to agree with me." You know, and they say, "Well, I just had to quit because it didn't work for me." I want to tell you, I think when we quit, we lose. When we persevere in believing, we win. Is that too complicated? So continue to resist. Practice thanksgiving. You say, "Well, what do I do?" Continue to resist. Well, you speak it, and then you start giving praise that it's done. I mean, really and truly. When you get right down to spiritual truths, if he paid the price 2,000 years ago for our healing, we're healed. Maybe it hadn't showed up yet. But we were healed 2,000 years ago when he paid the price. You say, Brother Tim, that's going in super spiritualism. Really? When were you saved? He paid the price for your salvation 2,000 years ago. Now, it may have been recently or a few years ago that you received it, but the price was paid 2,000 years ago. If it's true for your sin, it's true for your sickness. If it's true for your sickness, it's true for your financial situation. It's true for your relationships. It's true for your life. The victory he won 2,000 years ago is for us now. I'll tell you what, that get me excited, make me want to preach. Anyway, we battle till we win. The battle's not over till we win. Heaven honors perseverance. Think it, believe it. Speak it, believe it. Act it out, live it, operate in the physical and believe it until the enemy's on the run, until the victory is manifest. Jesus paid the price for you. If you capture this, it'll change your way of living. I'm telling you, it'll change your way of living. And that's what we're about. We want to help Christians walk in the triumph that Jesus Christ always leads us into. Amen? I love you. Thank you for your time today. Father, in Jesus' name, we just release your life into those that are receiving it right now. And Lord, even though we know sometimes the mind's got question marks, a lot of times we hear the Spirit saying yes and amen. And Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus that our eyes and hearts will be open, our ears will be open to continue to hear, because faith cometh by hearing. You said it. Faith cometh by hearing. And I just release a righteous indignation into believers to be determined to practice hearing and believing and receiving and enforcing what you designed us for. And Lord, I give you praise. Thank you so much for these precious ones. We bless them in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. We love you. Let's do this again next week, live in living color. Amen.